Hello and welcome to Habemus Papam, episode 35, St. Julius I.
Dear brothers and sisters, annuncio vobis.
Annuncio vobis.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum.
Gaudium magnum.
Gaudium magnum.
Habemus Papam.
Hey everyone. Let's get right into it. Like many of the early popes, we don't really know that much about the life of St. Julius I before he was elected pope in 337 AD. And that's fine because his pontificate is incredibly dramatic and interesting. So let's hop right into the story, and we have to get back to our old nemesis, the heretic Arius. Now you may be thinking, and I know I am, I thought we figured him out. I thought, you know, St. Nicholas slapped him at the Council of Nicaea. We all agreed on the creed. Arius is toast, right? Well, not so fast. We gotta discover this as we go along, but oftentimes right after an ecumenical council like Nicaea, things just get worse before they get better. So, sure, everyone signed on at Nicaea, but gradually things started shifting back to the Arians. The bishops of the East, led by a guy named Eusebius of Nicomedia, and no, that's not the same Eusebius we've been quoting, although he's around now too, his name's Eusebius of Caesarea. These bishops start worming their way into the emperor's good graces, and they begin to preach a gradual Arianism, and Constantine begins to be more and more lenient towards them, even going so far as to rehabilitate Arius himself. Now, it's at this point that we have to introduce another huge character in our story, and he's going to be around for a couple episodes now, and his name is Saint Athanasius of Alexandria. He was the deacon to Alexander of Alexandria, who we met a couple episodes ago, and he was his theological advisor at the Council of Nicaea. He then became the Patriarch of Alexandria in 327, and he was a staunch supporter of the faith articulated in the Nicene Creed. And he really didn't like the way things were going, as he saw more and more Arians coming out of the woodwork, starting to be put in places of authority. It's not really good, and so he made some noise. And Constantine, who wanted nothing if not stability and peace, he did not like Athanasius, so he had him exiled in 335 to Trier in Germany. On May 22nd, 337, Constantine fell sick and died. He was baptized just before his death by the Arian-leaning bishop Eusebius of Caesarea, and he was succeeded by three sons, Constantine II, Constantius II, and Constans. He had... They all had pretty similar names. So we're going to have to just figure this out. Constans, a Catholic, was put in charge of Rome. Constantius II, an Arian, had control over the East. And Constantine II had some territory, but he ends up getting beaten out by his two brothers. Athanasius was able to return to Alexandria after Constantine died. But soon afterwards, Constantius exiled him again because Constantius was an Arian. And so Athanasius had to flee to Rome. So here is where his story and that of our story with Pope Julius I come together, because Pope Julius I took him under his wing. And the Arians in Alexandria had sent letters to Pope Julius to make the argument that Athanasius should have been deposed. And Athanasius likewise petitioned the Pope to plead his cause. And it seems like Athanasius' representatives just out-argued the Arians in the debate before the Pope. So the Arians again asked the Pope to summon a council where both sides could be heard. So Pope Julius wrote a letter to the bishops of the East and sent two priests to invite them to a council in Rome, but it seems like they weren't very nice in their response. We've got a letter from Pope Julius writing back to the Eastern bishops after they refused to come to Rome, and he writes, "I have read your letter, which was brought to me by my presbyters, Elpidus and Philoxenus, and I am surprised to find that whereas I wrote to you in charity and with conscious sincerity, you have replied to me in an unbecoming and quarrelsome temper, for the pride and arrogance of the writers is plainly exhibited in that letter." He continues, "Yet what has been done that is a just cause of offense? Or in what respect was my letter to you such? Was it that I invited you to be present at a council? You ought rather to have received the proposal with joy." So Pope Julius welcomes Athanasius to Rome in early 340 and convened the Synod of Rome in December of 340. Joining Athanasius in Rome were other deposed bishops, including Paul, the Bishop of Constantinople, who had been deposed because they were holding on to their Orthodox faith expressed by the Nicene Creed. So Julius and a council of about 50 bishops debated the case put before them and sided with Athanasius and with the Nicene Creed. The church historian Socrates Scholasticus describes it as follows. There each laid his case before Julius, Bishop of Rome. He, on his part, by virtue of the Church of Rome's particular privilege, sent them back again into the East, fortifying them with commendatory letters, and at the same time restored to each his own place, and sharply rebuked those by whom they had been deposed. Relying on the signature of the Bishop of Julius, the bishops departed from Rome, and again took possession of their own churches, forwarding the letters to the parties to whom they were addressed. So it seems like Julius kind of gets everything taken care of. Julius's letter back to the Arians in the East was a firm defense of the faith as professed at Nicaea, and it also emphasizes the role of the Bishop of Rome. He writes, "And why was nothing said to us concerning the Church of the Alexandrians in particular? Are you ignorant that the custom has been for word to be written first to us, and then for a just sentence to be passed from this place? If then any such suspicion rested upon the bishop there, notice thereof ought to have been sent to the church of this place, whereas after neglecting to inform us and proceeding on their own authority as they pleased, now they desire to obtain our concurrence in their decisions, though we never condemned him." During this period, the Emperor Constans defeated his brother Constantine II, as I kind of mentioned, and so he gained more power and controlled the entire Western Empire. And Julius I contacted the Emperor and asked for him to intercede to help Athanasius and the other bishops get back to their sees. So Constans met with his brother Constantius, and the two decided to call another church council in Serdica, which is now today Sofia, Bulgaria. So here, a couple hundred bishops assembled at Serdica in 342, including the famous Hosius of Cordoba of the Council of Nicaea fame, as well as Athanasius and legates of Pope Julius I. And when the Arian bishops arrived, they made some quick, mental math calculations. They realized we are totally outnumbered. So they moved a couple miles down the road and they set up their own opposing council. The Council of Serdica sided with Athanasius and again insisted that he be reinstated. So they wrote a letter to Pope Julius with their findings, and they noted that in the future, if there was a dispute between bishops, what they should do is every priest from each and every province should refer to the head, that is, to the chair of Peter the Apostle. Despite this finding, Constantius II, who, if you remember, was an Arian himself, would still not let Athanasius return to Alexandria. It wouldn't be until 346 AD that he was going to be allowed to return. And at that time, Pope Julius wrote a letter congratulating the people of Alexandria for his safe return. He writes, "And it delights me now to conceive and figure to my mind the joy of every one of you at his return, and the pious greetings of the concourse and the glorious festivity of those that run to meet him. What a day will that be to you when my brother comes back again, and your former sufferings terminate, and his much prized and desired return inspires you all with an exhilaration of perfect joy." But as happy as that sounds, and as great and as excited as Pope Julius I seems to be, this isn't the end of St. Athanasius' story. He doesn't get to live happily ever after as a normal bishop. We're going to hear all about him next episode. But we don't hear too much more about Pope Julius after this. We do know that he helped rebuild the original chapel at Santa Maria in Trastevere, as well as the church, which is today called the Church of the 12 Apostles, Dodici Apostoli, in Rome. Other than that, we know that Pope Julius I died on April 12, 352, and was buried in the catacombs of Kallipodias. He was a firm defender of the faith against the Arians and a strong colleague of Athanasius, and he was succeeded by Pope Liberius, which is the first pope not listed as a canonized saint. And we're going to hear about why next week. Thanks for listening to Habemus Papam. You can check out the rest of the Catholic Bites podcast at catholicbitespodcast.com or find us on iTunes. There you can subscribe, you can leave us a review, you can find all sorts of other great things about the faith. So thank you and God bless.